Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
All right, we've been in a teaching series that I've entitled, Walking in the Realm of Supernatural Provision. We've been in this teaching series because we're in a season of supernatural provision. Now, when you think of the word provision, of course, it can mean supply, surplus, resources. So don't just limit it to something material. But provision of supply and surplus and provision of miracles are taking place right now at a rapid pace for those who are in faith. So we're going to read this passage of scripture, and I'm not going to read before we were coming from the sixth chapter of Kings and reading down into the seventh chapter. I'm just going to read the first two verses of the seventh chapter, but let me give you a little backdrop again to remind you of what was going on. At this particular time, the Syrian army had laid siege on the people of God. So nothing could go in and nothing could go out. So the people of God now was experiencing a famine. They were becoming very, very hungry, to the point where two mothers decided to kill their own sons and eat them. Well, when the king hears of this horrific decision and things of that nature, of course, he tears his clothes, and everybody see the king wearing sackcloth. That is an image of intercession, crying out to God for help. Well, what has caused all of this? The man of God, Elisha, previously was revealing the Syrian king's plans against the people of God, to the point where the Syrian king thought that he had a traitor in his own camp. And then his right-hand man said, no, we don't have a traitor. Israel just got a man of God. They got a prophet. And he's telling them your secrets. So now he goes after Elisha. Elisha, that's when I had you all read earlier, 2 Kings 6. Prays for his servant's eyes to be opened. The Syrian army surrounded him and his servant. And there are angels, an army of angels behind all of the soldiers. Elisha prays again for God to blind their eyes, which they all of the entire Syrian army's eyes are blinded. And then Elisha and his servant leads them into the town and tells the king to feed them and send them back. Do no harm to them. Well, the king wanted to kill all of them. Elisha wanted to show mercy. So now, because of this siege, this famine, this horrendous choices that people of God are making, the king is mad at the prophet. And now he wants to cut off Elisha's head. So all of this is the backdrop of what we're going to read. Two verses from 2 Kings chapter 7. Let's look at this, verses 1 and 2. Then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time. Somebody shout tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned, or who the king trusted, answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, Elisha said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof. So I've pointed out in this teaching, you know, anytime the Bible says the word of God goes forth, faith is supposed to come. Well, this man didn't receive faith from God's word being spoken by Elisha, because what Elisha said, it didn't line up to his calculations. It didn't line up to his reasoning. It didn't line up to what he thought he knew and understood. Watch this. He heard something that was beyond his capacity to believe. He heard something that was beyond his spiritual comprehension. And he heard something that was beyond, watch this, his willingness to grasp. So now here we are. And all that's been going on, we can't allow the natural realm to dull our spiritual sensitivity. We can't allow the natural realm to dull our spiritual aggressiveness. We can't allow the natural realm to dull our spiritual capacity to believe God, because it's our aggressiveness, it's our sensitivity and our intensity that gives birth to courageous actions in believing God and by the Spirit of God. Now let me give you this. And this was worth your hearing today. Whenever God gives a prophetic word, you will always be able to validate that word by something that has already occurred in scriptures. So get ready to write. Here we go. Number one, a prophetic word will always agree with the promises of God. A prophetic word will always agree with the promises of God. So sometimes you'll have people prophesying over others. And how do you know if this prophetic word is true? The prophetic word always agree with the promises of God. Number two, a prophetic word will always activate the principles of God. A prophetic word will always activate the principles of God. So God will never have somebody prophesy to you that you're going to get somebody's husband or you're going to get somebody's wife. That's not in agreement with the principles of God. A prophetic word will always activate the principles of God. Number three, a prophetic word will always alert the people of God. A prophetic word will always alert the people of God. God never wants his children to be in the dark about what he wants to do for them. So he gives a prophetic word through a man or a woman of God. Or even that prophetic word can be a scriptural prophetic word that he speaks to your heart from the scriptures. So let me see if you're listening. Number one, read it with me if you have it. A prophetic word will always agree with the promises of God. Number two, a prophetic word will always activate the principles of God. Number three, a prophetic word will always alert the people of God. And then the last one, number four, a prophetic word will always announce the plan of God. A prophetic word will always announce the plan of God. So now God, through Elisha, gives this prophetic word in the midst of all of that horrific stuff that was taking place in Elisha's day, in 2 Kings 6 and 7. And now, here's a thing that I was thinking about this message this morning and what I was going to say to you. And here's the thing that I want you to capture from all of this. Now listen, God wants you to stop identifying yourself with the people that you read about in Scripture who's struggling. He doesn't want you to see yourself struggling. He wants you to see yourself and identify yourself with the person with the solution. Elisha here is symbolic of Jesus. And so when you read the Gospels, Jesus never struggled. Jesus never said, I need provision. I need this. Jesus always received the provision he needed. He always received what his Father said. And that's how God the Father wants you and I to be. Watch this. He says, stop identifying with a condition or a situation that is not your divine destiny. Stop identifying with a condition or a situation that is not your divine destiny. It is the will of God for his children to stretch in faith to experience supernatural provision. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So my purpose in teaching this is to help us catch hold of a faith stamina infused with a bold spiritual confidence that gives birth to fearless, courageous action that brings supernatural provision on the scene. Again, we cannot allow the natural realm to dull our spiritual sensitivity, dull our spiritual aggressiveness, or dull our spiritual intensity. So one of the things that when it comes to walking in supernatural provision, now I want you to hear me, walking in supernatural provision, not God pulling you into supernatural provision. You got to be willing to walk it, like we walk by faith and not by sight. That walking is the willingness by us, first and foremost, to take steps in a place that the natural realm does not agree with. We walk by faith. So walking in the realm of supernatural provision is understand, you got to understand, to walk it, you have to become passionate about it. Make a note of this scripture. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. Make a note of this scripture. Let me see. Psalms 69 and 9. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there. The Bible says, for the zeal for thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee have fallen upon me. The zeal for God's house. So what am I telling you? Generate the passion to stretch to obey God, even when situations are not in agreement. Generate a passion to obey God. Somebody asked me one time, Pastor Mark, do you believe in once saved, always saved? And I told him, I said, I believe once saved as long as you want to stay saved. I said, I'm not looking for a way out. So I never think about, am I always saved? I'm looking for a way more in, because I'm generating a passion for more of God's house. That's why I keep reaching for the supernatural. I keep stretching for the supernatural. I keep extending myself to experience more of the supernatural, because it's the will of God for me. And it's the will of God for you. But you have to be willing. Say, I must become willing.
I must become willing.
You must become willing to walk in the realm of supernatural provision. Listen. And that walking is going to require you to resist what the natural realm is showing you. Again, look at Elisha. in 2 Kings chapter 7. Now, if we back up a little bit, let's back up a little bit. 2 Kings chapter 6. And verse 32. I want to show you Elisha's mindset. I've pointed this out already in this teaching, but I want you all to see it clearly. There's a famine going on, and Elisha and his ministry team, they're not panicking. They're in a place of peace and calmness to where Elisha now can hear a prophetic word from God and release it in faith. Look at this, verse 32. But Elisha sat in his house, and the elders sat with him. And the king sent a man from before him, but ere or before the messenger came to him, he said, or Elisha said to the elders, see ye how this son of a murderer hath sent to take away mine head. So by the gift of word of knowledge, Elisha by the Spirit knew that the king was sending the executioner to his house to behead him, and he's not panicking. Well, now what would be your story? He's not nervous. See, supernatural provision means more than just natural things. It means anything that you would require to walk in the victory that God has designated for you. So if you remember, I gave you this, that God's provision is his supply, it's his sufficiency, it's his support, and it's his sustainability. Let me say that again. God's provision, his supernatural provision, God's provision is his supply. Come on, it's his sufficiency, it's his support, and it's his sustainability. And then we looked at this Thursday night because I shared the PowerPoint with you. But God's sustainability is the ability to be cared for at a level the natural realm and natural circumstances can't support you in. Glory to God. God's sustainability. Everyone say that. God's sustainability. Come on, say it again.
God's sustainability.
I want you to have confidence in God's desire to care for you, God's desire to cover you, God's desire to be there for you, whatever life may throw at you. He has given you access to his provision. And that provision includes God's sustainability. His sustainability is his ability to uphold you and support you. And it's God's ability to fulfill, to flourish, and to furnish you that's beyond your natural ability. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. Now, how does that help me? How does that help me today? Well, let me use me as an example. Growing up, my mother believed God the best way she knew how. Y'all heard me share this story before, that she had a saying in our house. She would always say, there's going to be a brighter day after a while. Around 15 or 16, I asked her, when is this brighter day going to show up? Because we used to struggle. I did not know my mother and father lived below the poverty line in the U.S. until I was already in college, when I had to find out how much they made annually and found out that we lived below the poverty line. But I didn't know that, even though there are times I went to the refrigerator and there wasn't nothing in there. Even though there was times we ate Frosted Flakes with water. There were times when, we had to eat Spam But as a kid, I didn't know that. So she was believing God the best way she knew how. In my house, we believed the Bible was God's word, but we didn't know how to apply the Bible to situations in life. They didn't know nothing about praying the word. They didn't know nothing about standing together and in the prayer of agreement. We didn't do any of that. We said we were praying, we said we were believing God, and I watched them struggle. Well, God's sustainability now. They had no revelation of it, but now here, now fast forward to me and Cheryl raising our kids. And there were struggling times, but we responded in faith. We responded taking authority. We responded by maintaining an atmosphere of love, an atmosphere of unity, an atmosphere of faith. They knew about praying the word. They knew about getting the scripture and acting on that word. To the point that even when they were young and small, I taught them a prayer that I still pray today. And if any of you would not have ever gone out to eat with us, you heard me pray over our meals. Well, that was a result of our family struggling. And God says, teach your kids to pray the word and not their feelings. And so that's where that prayer came from. I told them, we don't say grace over our meals. We release grace to our meals so that our bodies will respond and be healed. So now when their bodies got attacked, I said, remember the prayer we prayed over our meals? Every sickness, every disease germ, every virus that touches your body dies instantly in the name of Jesus. Didn't you believe that with me when we prayed? And they said, yes. I said, and we stand on it now. And then there were times in our house, I would have them memorize certain passages of scripture. They had to memorize Psalms 126. They had to memorize some verses from Psalms 103. Then I would tell them, how does this apply to your life? Well, my parents didn't do that. They didn't know to do that. So they didn't know how to access or tap into God's sustainability. When I was doing it for my family, I didn't know or have the revelation of God's sustainability or his supernatural vision. I had the revelation of acting to release the power in his word. Is everybody with me so far? And so you have to understand that God's sustainability is his ability to fulfill you, flourish you, and furnish you that's beyond, say beyond, beyond your natural ability. Here Elisha is speaking this. Now this is why I want to help you generate this passion to believe God for supernatural provision. Because it is the will of God and it's the pattern of God. Now get this, it's the will of God and the pattern of God for his people to expect supernatural provision after every hard struggle. Let me show you. Let's look at, glory to God. This is his MO. I'm just going to give them to you rather than have you turn to all these places. The difficulty and the devastation that Job faced. How many of y'all remember Job? It was followed by supernatural provision, and Job ended up with a double blessing, and his devastating situation was reversed. Number two, the difficulty and desperation that King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20, that he faced, it was followed by supernatural provision, and his desperate situation was reversed. The difficulty and desperation in 2 Kings 6, which we've just been looking at, where the people of God were starving, it was followed by supernatural provision, and their desperate situation was reversed. And then the difficulty and desperation and disappointing night in Luke chapter 5, where Peter and his partners had been toiling and fishing all night long and didn't catch anything, after Jesus' instruction was acted upon, supernatural provision took place and their desperate situation was reversed. And then the difficulty and desperation in 1 Kings 17, where the widow was preparing for her and her son to die. How many of y'all remember that? After she followed Elijah's instructions, supernatural provision took place and their desperate situation was reversed. It is God's MO to follow difficult and desperate situations with supernatural provision. I'm sharing this with you, dear hearts, because I mentioned my own life. My mother and father didn't know how to prepare me for it. So they were training me to expect struggle like they lived in. But now when it came to our kids, I didn't teach them. Cheryl and I didn't teach them to expect struggle. We told them to expect the supernatural. We trained them. What can you learn from this? Look at how you are training your loved ones. Look how you are informing them, and then what you're teaching them by how you believe, how you live, how you talk, how you walk, what you're expecting. You can walk in the realm of supernatural provision. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So let's end today by looking at something. And I want to help you activate this in your life. Glory to God. You have to understand that the Bible is a supernatural book. The Bible is a supernatural book. And it always tells us what is ours. It tells us what we've inherited. It tells us what we can do because we are a child of God. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1. This is where we're going to end today. Colossians chapter 1. You know, in our rebroadcast email, I put in a quote that I have from Dr. Bill Winston, and I love this quote. I want to read it to you now. It says, We are not limited to or affected by the natural realm. Faith gives us access to the supernatural. Can you put that down in your notes? Faith gives me access to the supernatural. Faith gives me access to the supernatural. And watch this. Watch this part of the statement. He stated, if you put things off in time and are looking through the natural progression of time, you won't be able to operate in the supernatural. Now, you heard just a little while ago Sister Adria's testimony of how they stated that she's healing at a rapid pace than they anticipated. You heard her share that this situation, this faith fight she's been in, her and Deke, has been a little over a year. When they told us about it last year, at that moment, Cheryl and I began, here's our prayer, for her to accelerate through this faith fight. We did not know all the intricate details. Like when she went through her first series of sessions of chemo, I didn't know that she was taking that much. So when she told me, I was really taken aback. I said, no, I was not aware. So that's when she explained. And this is around November, December last year. And she had begun. And so we're still praying. Now, the natural realm said we wasn't getting any evidence. This is where you have to lock into God's supernatural provision and not let go. We wouldn't give in to any thought, any feeling that she was going to succumb to the illness, that she'd grow too weak because of the illness. And I think that we went to Texas in March or February this year, and this was the first time we had saw her in about since November. Am I right? So before we went to Texas, we went by there, and she was using a walker. We didn't want to see that image. I didn't want to accept that image. She looked a lot more frail. She looked different than she looked now, but she looked frail then because she had been battling. She'd been fighting. Her faith was still strong. Her belief was still strong. But on our part, standing with them, we couldn't give in to what the natural realm was trying to show us and tell us what's working and what's not working. She indeed couldn't give in to what the natural realm, and in this case, what the doctor report will come back. When they're thinking we're moving toward the end, and they say, no, we're backing up. We couldn't give in to any of that. So they're in the faith fight. We're in the faith fight for them. Y'all listening? And now to hear her stand today. And I think we maybe have gone out. Don't give me the days, they leave me, but I'll tell you what really gave us joy in our hearts. We saw their two sons in the mall. We were walking in the mall, the Galleria Mall. We went in there and we went into a store we never go in. We never go in. And their two boys was in there. I say boys, these are men. And then the oldest one, he stands in the aisle and just stand looking at me. Now, I don't notice anybody when I go in the store. So I'm looking, he just stand there waiting on me to recognize him. And then as I look up, now somebody's standing there. To me, I'm thinking, that's a street murderer. All right, brother, what's up? Because all I see is his feet and his legs. I look up, then I see his Corby. I see who it is. And now he's waiting on me. He busts out laughing. And we greeted one another. And then the boys say, the men say, yes. The men say, Chandler says, yeah, I come back and I didn't know what I was going to see. And then when I saw Mom, I looked at how she looked. I said, oh, she's fine. Look at her. It was a joy to our hearts. We left their presence praising God, rejoicing God, and reminding God, we're still standing on your word. Right in the store, we started praising God loud. We were praising God and rejoicing. Now, what am I trying to tell you? Your faith fight like theirs may be over a year long. You still have to stand in faith. God's ability has not waned. His faithfulness to you has not been lifted. But you are the deciding witness, because God does not control your believing. God will not make you trust him. You have to, what's the subject title? Be willing to walk in the realm of supernatural provision. Can you say amen? Amen. So let's end today by looking at Colossians chapter 1. And let me help you to understand how to apply this. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start at verse 9. We're going to read three verses, 9, 10, and 11. And that's where we'll end today. Now, Thursday, I'm going to show you scriptures on the abundance of God, the provision of God. Well, you had Colossians 1, right? Okay, put a marker there real quick and go to Psalms 92. Somebody needed to see this. I sensed this in my heart. So look at this. Real quick. Quickly. Psalms 92. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Look at verse 12. And then I'm going to go to Colossians 1, and that's where we're going to end. Psalms 92.
Yes, sir.
If you have it, say, I have it.
I have it.
All right. Look at verse 12. Now, everyone look up here. What we read, I want you to read it through the lens of supernatural provision. You're going to see that he's going to talk about the righteous. That's you and I. And he's going to talk about them never succumbing, never scaling back, never giving up. Look at it through the lens of supernatural provision. All right, let's read. Verse 12. The righteous shall flourish. Somebody shout, that's me.
That's me.
He says, like the palm tree. Now listen, everybody. I'm from South Texas. I was raised with palm trees in the yard. No matter what the elements are, palm trees always look like they're flourishing. And growing up in South Texas, I never saw a dead palm tree. Now, I have seen uprooted ones, but in order for there to be uprooted palm trees, it has to be a force that is affecting not only the ground where the roots are, because a palm tree's roots grow deep. And so in one hurricane when I was 9 years old, I saw some that were split because of the force winds from the hurricane. But he says that you as a righteous person, you as a child of God, you shall flourish. Say, I will flourish.
I will flourish.
I don't think you really caught that. In other words, it's inevitable. This is not you may flourish. You will flourish like the palm tree. Watch this. He or she shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Everyone say this. I am outgrowing
what I have been facing.
Yes, you're outgrowing it. Its effect on you is diminishing. How it used to control you, it's diminishing. You're outgrowing it. All right, look at the next verse, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, say, that's me.
That's me.
Look what happens. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. You're not going to lose your hearts. You got to expect this. God is coming through for you. God's going to make some things happen. And like I gave you those examples, God is turning some situations around. Say amen.
Amen.
Verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14. They shall still, say still. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. You know what it says? Time will not even affect their fruitfulness. That's supernatural. And it says, they shall be fat, that means abundant, and flourishing. And what's the purpose of this? To show that the Lord is upright. So you walking in the realm of supernatural provision is not about your comfort zone. It's not about me, myself, and I. It's about you being the light of the world and showing the world my God is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Okay, go to Colossians 1. We'll end here. Colossians 1. I tell you to keep a marker there. Look at this, verses 9, 10, and 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Let's end today by pulling six things from this passage that we just read that you have to begin implementing. Number one, you have to be filled with the knowledge of God's will about the situation you're facing. Be filled with the knowledge of God's will about the situation you're facing. There is no situation in your life that you'll ever encounter that the Word of God doesn't cover. It might not have specific names, it might not have specific details, but the overall situation and condition is covered in the Word of God. Number two, be filled with revelation of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding about the situation you're facing. Now, how is number two different from number one? Number one is based on hearing. Number two is based on praying. I'm going to begin praying for God to reveal to me His wisdom and cause me to have understanding about the situation I'm in. I'm not going to panic. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust God. Everyone say this. My prayers work.
My prayers work.
You have to believe that. You have to believe that. So number one is about hearing the word. I'm going to be filled with the knowledge of God's will about my situation. Number two is about praying the word. That's how I'm going to be filled with the revelation of God's will in all wisdom. You're going after His wisdom and His understanding about your situation. Number three, make up in your mind that no matter what you're facing in life, you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in that situation. Make up in your mind that no matter what you're facing in life, you're going to walk worthy of the Lord, pleasing Him in that situation. And how is God pleased? When we walk by faith. When we walk by faith. So you got to be willing to choose to please God above yourself and others. All right, number four. They're just six, and I'm done. No matter what you're facing in life, and no matter where you find yourself in life, determine to be fruitful in every good work. Determine to be fruitful in every good work. Now, if you're determined to be fruitful, you're not going to have time to feel sorry for yourself. You're not going to have no pity party. You understand, I'm here to bear fruit, even in this situation. You know what bearing fruit is all about? Being solution oriented. Everyone say, there is a solution
for
the situation that I'm currently facing. And God wants me to have it. All right. And then number five, which is just reemphasizing number one and number two, increase in the knowledge of God. Don't settle for what you think you know. Keep reaching for more. Keep pulling for more. Keep pushing for more. And then finally, number six, become strengthened with all might by God's glorious power. Become strengthened with all might by God's glorious power unto all patience. Now, what does that mean? In the Bible, the word patience means to be consistent. Release your faith now that you're receiving the might of God to be consistent in the situation you're facing, even when you don't feel like it. Even when your head says, stop, quit, it's no use and you continuing. That's when you release your faith. I believe I receive the strength and might of God to continue. I'm going to be consistent, because within consistency lies the power. And you have to understand, many times when I'm in a long faith fight, I always pray for God's joy. I say, God, I believe I receive your joy to help me to continue believing you. I receive your joy. I'm not going to get bitter about what I'm going through. I'm not going to get frustrated about what I'm going through. I'm not going to get agitated, irritated, or exasperated. I'm going to be filled with joy because I'm going to walk this thing out pleasing my God. And He's pleased when I walk by faith. So that means I'm going to govern my tongue, what I say. I'm going to govern my thoughts, what I think, the thoughts I embrace. I'm going to govern my temperament, my attitude. That's not a time I'm going to look to get in an argument with Cheryl. That's not a time I'm going to be fussing and fighting? No, because I'm in a faith atmosphere, a faith attitude, and faith works by love. And then I'm also going to govern my team and the temperature around me, meaning my atmosphere. We're going to maintain this because we're expecting a move of God. You're going to have to give up your times of fussing, fighting, and it's sad you got to tell this to Christians, cussing, and understand, we're going with God. I'm standing on the word of God. We're going to get our demonstrations. Now, why am I saying this? Because I'm getting ready to pray for you for the last 4 months of this year and to build this momentum and for God to elevate your sight, elevate your vision. And to do so, you have to be willing to walk in a manner you've never walked in before.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.